Howdy, folks. Welcome back once again to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys got some rest last night. My two-year-old decided he did not want to get rest last night. Finally fell asleep after the Hagman show, and he woke me up and I guess had a bad dream. I tried to put him back to bed, and then once again, I woke back up with him crawling across me again. So, yeah, we had a fun night. It was all knees and elbows in the back of the spine. You know, you used to always tell me when I was a kid, if we ever had to share a bed for something, we're traveling, you're like, dude, you got to just don't elbow me and knee me all night.
Kick me all night.
Oh, no, I won't do that. Invariably, all you do as a toddler is kick everybody in the bed all night long.
Well, you're having all these vivid dreams. You're flipping all night.
Oh, he's upside down. His feet are hitting me in the face at 4 in the morning. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? I just spin around.
Austin's learning what I went through.
Oh, my gosh. That was fun. But he won't be that age forever.
You know what's funny to me? Until kids, let me just pontificate for a second.
Oh, yeah. I'm still processing last night on about an hour and a half of sleep. So
until kids have kids, until they realize what incredible, wonderful things they were to raise, until they deal with all of the things that the parent has dealt with, they really can't understand what it is to be a parent. You know, children are funny. They want to criticize you and criticize you and criticize you and criticize you on how they were raised until they have children. And also they're like, well, you were right about this.
You're right about that, dude. I didn't really criticize you much. Everybody's got their own stuff to deal with.
No, I'm not talking about. I got four kids. I didn't say this was you. Yeah, well, you're pretty good about it.
Well, the thing about it is, and that I've learned as a parent now with three kids, is having kids, it's not like, oh, it's experience. It's a project. It's a full-time continual job all the time. There's always something to do. There's always something to fix. There's always something to put out of a fire. It's never ending,
and
it's fun.
And the thing about it is, being a parent never changes. It never goes away.
No.
The difference is the role changes.
Yeah. There's now, phases.
Well, now you watch them make mistakes as adults. You go, told you that's going to happen. Yeah. And they go, I can't believe you said I told you so. I told you it was going to happen. And then, like, suddenly, you were right again. And so you kind of watch them grow up. Now, and it's funny, we were talking about this morning, because I was talking to a friend of mine this morning about this, and I told him, I said, what you got to do is, as they get older, you got to give them increasingly more amounts of autonomy and hope they don't die.
Yeah, that's about right.
No, you say, well, what do you mean by that? Yeah,
because
they buy motorcycles, they start doing crazy behavior, they start getting in accidents, and you got to just hope they don't die. And you think, well, that's awful. I lost a child. I'm talking about that right now. Yeah. And so sometimes they get through it. I mean, the stuff that we did as kids, my gosh, is the one way any of us lived. We were jumping off roofs, swimming with alligators. I mean, it was unbelievable what we did. Killing water moccasins when you're 8 years old.
Buying Gixxer 1000s when you're 18.
I didn't do that one. You did that with one of your lives.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, and this is what I've tried to do, especially with a lot of people that, you know, I meet, I train with, I work with, is I try to give them constant, you know, aspects. If they have an issue, I try to say, hey, this is a solution set point. Here's the other problem. If this is a problem, here's how you fix it. It was so funny. Well, it wasn't funny. I'll brag on my buddy. I've known him since a kid. He wants to start training with me. He wanted to blow up again. He's been training for a while, but he wanted to take the next level of training. Vincent, and he's 22. He's got a pressure washing company. So he comes. I didn't tell you this. He comes in the other day. And he goes, comes in the gym, and he goes, Austin, I need your opinion. So what's going on? He goes, this is a big deal. I said, okay, what's the big deal? He's like, I did a pressure washing job today. It's okay, congratulations. He goes, you know, $400 job. We agreed on it, $400 set price. Did it, knocked it out, looked perfect. And the lady came outside, and she handed me a big wad of cash. And I told her thank you, talked to her for a second, put it in my pocket. I got home, and she shorted me $140. $140. She goes, yeah, it was like a $100 bill on top. There was a bunch of ones and fives in the middle. I said, you didn't count the money in front of her? He goes, well, no, I trusted her. And I said, oh, there was your first mistake in business. I said, you always count up in front of them, and then you have them count it again in front of you. And then if you really want to, count it again. And I said, you don't ever walk off a job with cash in your pocket without counting. That's, I've learned it the hard way. He's taught me the hard way. Again, sometimes they still lie about it. Sure enough, he texted her up, called her. I didn't short you. You're lying to me. You're trying to take advantage of me. He's like, ma'am, here's the money. You're lying. You changed the money. And he didn't know what to do. And I said, well, take this as a lesson. This is a cheap lesson. You still got paid. And I said, luckily it wasn't a $5,000 job and you got $500 out of it. I said, you always check your money. You always check your bills. You always double check things in business. And then when you're ready to double check them and you're finished again, check them again. And that's a really valuable lesson. I'm just telling everybody on that.
That's why I like to basically, if somebody wants cash and I have a personal checkbook there, I will write the check out for them. I've done this many times and make it payable to them. And then if they want cash, I will then cash the check for them.
Yeah.
So then I have a receipt for the full amount of the money.
Exactly right.
For the check.
That's the cleanest way to do it.
And then you go to the bank, and as long as you have a bank account there, you can have them countersign it for you, and you can basically redeposit it in your account. That's the cleanest way to do it if they want cash. But if you're just handing out $100 bills, you better darn sure make sure they have it.
And, man, been there, done that before, too. Always check the cash. Make sure you're checking it thoroughly to make sure the hundreds are real. Fives and ones don't normally get faked a lot because they're not worth the money to fake them. $100 bills are very, very heavily.
I remember one time you sold some rims to this guy in cash.
Oh, yeah.
And he paid you in, like, phony money.
It was $2,000 for a set of wheels and tires. They handed me $2,000. And of course, immediately, I'm counting on the tailgate of the truck, and I'm going through them. And every time I look through them, I'm looking at them. I look at one, see the little corner on the edge, says copy. Pull it out. I said, what the heck is this? This counterfeit. It's like, it's a motion picture money. Huh? And I pulled another one. Another one came out. I said, are you joking me right now? I said, are we about to do this? I mean, if you wanted to get in a gunfight, you should just start it out with that. Because I carry all the time, and I'm not playing. This is cash. I'm funny about that. He goes, I wonder if you're going to catch those. There's like two more in there. Really? Really? You're really going to play that card right now? And sure enough, then he pulls real money out. Pulls like $400 more real money out. Hand the counter. Now I got to like triple check every bill the whole time. And I'm like, dude, why are you wasting my time?
Oh, let me tell you one more story. Years ago, we were going to buy a Hayabusa motorcycle. And don't send me letters.
Fast bike.
Okay? I was buying it for me. All right?
And I already had one.
You already had a fast
bike. I had 1,000R.
Yeah, but I was going to buy a Hayabusa. They're good for a straight line. They handle awful. But they're great for straight line. They're fast. Well, they used to be. It's not fast anymore compared to the BMW 1000RR. Those things are ridiculous.
There's no weight. They're light, man.
Yeah. So anyhow, so the guy goes to me, goes, well, I've got the bike. It's going to be $7,000. I said, okay. I want cash. I said, I tell you, I work for this. I used to work for the CIA.
Yeah.
Remember this?
Like, and I'm like, anybody that ever did or does work for the agency never says that. Ever. No, I can tell you that.
And
the
guy, no, this guy's a weirdo. He goes, I'll meet you in a parking lot. And I'm like, no, here's where we're going to meet. We're going to meet in the parking lot at the SunTrust.
In the front.
The
cameras are.
And I'm going to have a check with me for $7,000. And what we're going to do is we're going to go inside. And we're going to have you cash the check with me, and I'm not walking around with that kind of cash. And then you can have the bike. And while we're inside doing this, Austin will be with me, and he'll check the motorcycle out, make sure it runs, and run around the parking lot in it, and make sure you have the title with you. The whole thing was a scam.
Complete scam.
And he was there to roll me for $7,000.
Yeah.
I don't want to go in the bank. They got cameras. I said, yeah, that's about why we're going to do this. So be really, really, really careful with stuff like that, guys. Another friend of mine calls me. He goes, I think I got scammed. I said, okay, whatever. He goes, I sold a four-wheeler to a guy down in Mexico. He sent me a check, supposedly $5,000. He sent me a check for $10,000. Remember this one?
Oh, yeah.
So he told me just to send me.
He said he got the cash conversion wrong on it.
Yeah. So my friend sent him a check back for $5,000, cashier's check. You already know what happened. The $10,000 check cashed. It bounced. So my friend was out $5,000.
And a four-wheeler. Shit shipped. Yeah.
No. He not only lose the four-wheeler, you lost $5,000. And you see, be really careful with this online stuff. If they're not willing to talk to you, number one, if they won't get on the telephone and talk to you on a deal like this, something ain't right.
Well, it goes nowhere if I can't have a phone conversation with you, period.
And it's best to do a doggone video chat, too, if you can. But
I can tell you stories, man, especially the truck stuff. Anyways, well, back, I want to get some hell stuff today. I was on Hagman last night. You guys enjoyed that really intense show.
Oh, the CIA guy calls me up. We're supposed to go over there.
Oh, yeah.
That he goes, oh, by the way, sold the motorcycle last night. You know, there never was a motorcycle.
No, once the deal got real tight, all of a sudden he disappears. Oh, the bike's gone. Sorry, sold this morning. I'm like, we talked to you 30 minutes ago. Oh, sorry, sold. It's gone. Bye. Click. Dude, get out of here. Magnesium brain food. You guys voted. It won. This is one of your favorite products.
It won again.
Nowhere.
This product, I love this product. I take a tablespoon every day.
Oh, yeah. On sale, 12% off. And if you guys have seen this, the update yet, you guys asked for this. I want to make it really clean and concise. The protocol kits is going to stay the same at the top, which is going to have different kits in it, like basically the, Well, I'll show you guys right here. It'll have the basic healthy lifestyle kit, immune support kit, all the really important kits we've thrown together. And then we're going to have the multi-pack up here. This is all of our three-pack and six-packs, all concise of your favorite products that you asked for. Purple Sticks three-pack, Magnesium Brain Food three-pack. The purple cans will be up here in a second.
We have a GHI three-pack now.
We have a GHI three-pack now. Pretty much all the products y'all love, y'all want, and I'm doing three-packs on them. Some of them are bigger discounts. Some of them are not a ton just because my margins. But a lot of people like to have backups. And somebody emailed me the other day, and they said, Austin, I'm trying to have backup inventory. I need to try to make it, you know, as cash efficient as possible. I want to stay stocked up in the event of an emergency. But you don't have three packs on everything. And I thought, well, touche. I can't tell you to buy up if I'm not going to do it myself. So
that six-pack collagen, that's a heck of a deal.
That six-pack collagen is a heck of a deal because that's the one that basically, if you want to stay really stocked up and you're going to hammer this stuff for a while, which you pretty much have to really get the top results, I'll tell everybody you need to at least use the product for 90 days to start seeing results on it. But we got a lot more we're loading on here. This is just the first phase of it that got up last night, and we'll be getting that up here. So the multi-packs, three-packs, six-packs only, protocol kits, all the more fancy exotic protocols that we've
put. How about the little cans of Purple Sticks?
Those are going, everything's, anything's going on here. We got to move it all over from the other one on here and across the board on here, because I want to make it really clean and efficient for everybody to be able to access this stuff. And also, to be sure to check out thebrewershow.com. We are on YouTube. I'm not going to jinx myself. We're doing great on YouTube right now as far as no issues at all, staying up, going live, getting subscribers. So please, if you like YouTube, if you like that platform, we're trying to expand it for the sole purpose of getting
largest the platform in the world. Here's the thing we're having to do, though. I have to be careful. I can't even say the words.
So there's, you guys have picked up on it, right? Certain keywords throw certain algorithms on the tube. So there's certain words that we just don't say. We rephrase them with a different word or a different phrase.
We can't talk about...
or the 2020 thing that they did?
No. Can't talk about parasites and it's the whole thing's crazy. And it's funny how other people don't get banned for saying stuff like this, but we do.
So we're trying to keep the account up this time. Fourth time's a charm.
Unbelievable.
So follow us on there, like, subscribe if you're on YouTube platforms. You'll get updated every single day. But of course, we still have thebrewershow.com and a whole lot of content on it every day ready for you guys, including the news stories at the very top up here. You can click on. These are the daily articles that are linked back to the shows. This is from Wednesday. And this is pretty much everything we talk about and more with the links on it. And so be sure to check that out. Last night I went into detail with Doug. We did a whole first section on the data center and Blackbird. And this whole – the more I'm digging into this, the more really, really convoluted it's getting.
You know what Henry Ford said? You know what Henry Ford said? He said a lot of stuff. He said, if you dig deep enough under the rock, you're going to find the guys with the little hats.
Yeah. And now I'm finding out that this Blackbird firm that specializes in land weaponization, their words, not mine,
That's nuts the way they would even say that.
Well, I mean, I told you, if you guys didn't hear the story yesterday, this is the company, the LLC, that has written under the land grab of the contiguous properties in Lakeland. There's four properties in Lakeland that have now been added together under one LLC, the Holmes Beach Tides LLC, Holmes Beach Family Tides LLC. Well, then you find out who's the signer of the LLC. It's Blackbird. And their specific services is taking property and basically getting maximum ROI from data center assets on it. And it's crazy. There is not a single – I went through the site last night. There's not a single phrase, single paragraph, single comment about benefiting citizens, sustainability, wetlands, aquifer in the Florida aquifer that is getting really low right now that is causing sinkholes in Florida. None of that. All it is about is strategic partnerships for maximum ROI, turnkey programs with land weaponization, a site with complete diligence, clear and actionable information, and a coherent story ready for market consumption. And they brag about it. Brag about it on here. So this is going to be an interesting world. But I found this whole thing, and this is the major company, at least down in the Southwest right now, that is bankrolling, backing, manipulating, and ramrodding the stuff too.
Can you click on where it says permitting and jurisdictional right there?
No, I cannot. I've tried to already go through this. There's different aspects of the services that they have, but they've kept a lot of their protocol completely off the grid on this. They're not going into detail on how they handle a lot of it. They give you a template of what they can do, and that's hush-hush. I'm sure they have to have an enormous amount of equity in the project, is from what I'm gathering from how they're handling all this whole thing.
Okay, so, okay, hang on.
You fixing your little hat?
Yeah, I'm fixing my little hat. Oh, by the way, eating ultra-processed foods tied to a 58% higher risk of developing dementia.
There you go.
You know, and it ain't me. It ain't me, okay? And I know ain't right. I got that. But we're a couple of rednecks with a transmitter down here in Florida who like guns and trucks, fast cars. But highly educated. I will give us that. And I have told you guys for 40 years that high-fat luncheon meats will kill you.
You actually have.
I have.
That goes all the way back to the 80s.
I've spoken to over a million people at live seminars, and I told them. I was featured on thousands of radio and TV talk shows back in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. And some weeks I'd do up to 40 radio broadcasts as a guest, to the point I would lose my voice. Austin, I'll tell you, I would get laryngitis. I couldn't talk. Probably what's wrong with my voice now. I sound like I'm talking to you out of a tunnel.
And, ditto.
Yeah. Lady says to me yesterday, you and your son sound identical. And I'm like, yeah, we've done almost 3,000 podcasts.
A lot of shows, man.
And so it kind of works your throat a little bit as far as your vocal cords. And it's funny because I told you guys, and I'm going to tell you that I told you. I'm going to tell you what I told you again. High-fat luncheon meats, you don't eat them. Bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs, you don't do it. Period. Never. You don't put them in your body. They cause brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, headaches. I mean, this goes on and on and on and on and on. And all kinds of cancers. And now, apparently, they have a 58% causing a higher risk of developing dementia. Eating here's the words out of the article. Eating bacon, ham, other smoked meats was the highest risk to brain health. So, you know, I sit here and I say to you, whatever. You know, you can listen or not listen. It's your choice. After 40 years, I'm kind of tired of saying it. People eat over 2 pounds of ultra-processed foods like hot dogs and cookies a day are at a 58% increased risk of developing dementia and 46% heightened risk for cognitive impairment, an alarming new study from Harvard. Dementia has long been a major problem in the United States, and that is projected to get much, much worse. There are more than 7.2 million people with Alzheimer's, and they're going to be up to 13 million by 2050. Be higher than that, by the way, The findings could have explained how America got there and informed the future steps expert recommended. Reverse course. Now you're going to have to watch the show so you can see me do this and this. This, okay. Around 70% of the American diet has become ultra-processed over the last half century, according to the National Institute of Health, as companies edited their products for flavor, color, and shelf life and being addictive. The products were designed to be more hyper-palatable to consumers, featuring tempting combinations of salts, fats, and sugars to make them as addictive as possible. Since then, the years of research has uncovered the harms of these foods, including similarly negative impacts on brain health, the heart, and the immune system, and other systems in the body. It's not just the major eaters that are at risk. Even moderate amounts of consumption were a problem for the brain, the new study found. That's a pound or less. That's like a pound of bacon a year. That's a pound. A year. That's like one pack of bacon.
Yes.
Okay? That's not much bacon to eat in a year. Just say, well, I don't eat all my calories from ultra-processed foods. I'm safe. Nearly shows there's not a safe level. Cindy Leung, an associate professor of public health, said there's no safe level whatsoever. The researchers analyzed the death and the health of more than 5,000 older adults over the course of close to a decade. The participants were from the University of Michigan's Health and Research Retirement Study, which includes health data. 20,000 Americans were tested. Participants were also asked questions about their food intake as well as smoking, alcohol use, activity levels, and other factors that affect brain and overall health. I'm going to say something about nicotine. There's a huge trend right now to use patches.
Mainly pouches.
Pouches and patches. I'm not doing it.
Well, you've got a lesser incidence of COVID if you do it.
It's so stinking addictive. It's unbelievable.
And extremely addictive.
The answer is just no. Eat clean. Comparing the data revealed that people who ate processed meats had the highest risk of dementia and cognitive impairment, such as bacon and sliced ham. 40 years. But because the study's data is self-reported, the researchers say they can actually prove ultra-processed foods are the cause of dementia and cognitive decline. In other words, it's an anecdotal study. In other words, they didn't try to kill people with this stuff. Still, ultra-processed foods are also tied to risk factors of dementia, such as obesity, gut changes, and cardiovascular disease. Wow. You know, it's so funny, Austin. You know, when you tell the people that you tell them what you told them, you tell them again what you told them, and you try to get them to understand, sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. I have a friend of mine, good friend. He likes to eat bacon and ham. And he's got all kinds of health problems. And I've told him repeatedly, you don't do this, you won't do this. Well, I like it. Okay. All right. Have fun with all that. You know, to the doctor again, more surgery again, more drugs again, trying to combat the effects. Let me tell you a story. I've never told you this story on the show. Way back when, in the dark ages, back when Abraham Lincoln was president. Just kidding. I came down with a disease called pericarditis. I was in my 20s. And the crazy part about it was I was not recovering. I'd gone to multiple doctors way back then. They didn't really have treatment protocols for it. And finally, I had a naturopathic physician come over to my house one time. And his name was Jeff. And he told me, he wanted to go to Miami, Florida State football game with me. I told him I'd try, and I did. And I was sick the whole time. And he wanted to go out, and I just said, I'll order some pizzas. And we ordered some pizzas, and I ordered pepperoni pizza. Now, he's sitting there, and I got this big old pepperoni pizza for us, and he's picking his pepperoni slices off his pizza. Right? And I'm taking them and putting them on my pizza, and I'm eating them. This is all bacon, pork. And finally, he looked at me and goes, the reason you're not recovering from this heart problem you've got is the way you eat. He said, that pork's unbelievably unhealthy. He said, you need to read a book by Elmer Josephson called God's Keys to Health and Happiness about pigs. And I looked at him. I started laughing. I said, oh, come on now, Jeff. We're not under the old law. We're under grace. We can eat whatever we want to eat. Pray over it. Eat it. He goes, no, it doesn't say that. And he says, swine is really unhealthy, and it's really bad, and that's why you're not recovering, because it's putting undigested urea into your bloodstream, which is feeding this bacteria. And I said, whoa. And that's because no one ever told me this. I've been sick for several months. Terrible chest pains. So I decided to listen to him. I said, well, you know, maybe God was right. Think about that. Maybe God was right. You know, I got a newsflash for you. God is always right. It's not called the 10 suggestions. They're called the 10 commandments. So I stopped eating the pork, and I stopped drinking all the coffee I was drinking. I was drinking 18 cups of coffee a day, and I weaned myself down, because I didn't want to die. A little too young to die in your 20s. You know, nobody really wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And so I ended up basically coming off the coffee. It took me about 3 weeks, came off all the pork, and I gradually started to recover. It was crazy how long it took. And the crazy part about it is, had I not listened, I can tell you right now, Austin knows this as a fact, I wouldn't be here right now. I'd have checked out in my 20s. I would have departed the planet. The crazy thing about it is, how many of you don't want to listen and you're going to depart the planet? You won't be here in a year or 2 years or 3 years. Because I tell you, don't eat pork. Don't eat shellfish. Don't eat margarine. Don't do it. Don't eat these foods that God forbids not to eat. You don't eat high fructose corn syrup. Don't use artificial sweeteners. Don't use stevia. I'm sorry. Stevia is okay. Don't use aspartame, and don't use Splenda. Don't use things like that. Don't use it. Don't use high-fat luncheon meats. Don't eat ultra-processed dairy products. Don't spend your life sucking down a pot after pot of coffee. Don't get drunk. Don't do a bunch of alcohol. Don't do stuff like that, and you'll be a whole lot healthier. And then you can live your whole life as healthy for as long as you can. That's what you got to do. Who wants to be in a nursing home, guys? I have so many of my friends from high school that are dead. They're dead. Probably a third of the class has died already. And you think to yourself, wow, that can't be. It's true. It's awful. We keep losing them more and more and more. You can't eat junk and not have consequences long term. It's just the way it works. Every once in a while, if you slip up a little bit, whatever. But you can't be doing it every day, guys. Can't do it. What do you think, Austin?
You're spot on with that. I mean, that's one of the reasons why a lot of nutrients you've got to take on a regular basis. I was going over magnesium last night on Doug's show, specifically the effects of magnesium theate, the magnesium brain food, on the body.
But great product.
Here was a part that I wanted to cover enough of on here that I want to put this on camera for, because a lot of people don't realize how often not only does your body needs the magnesium, but there are a lot of behavioral patterns that really burn off magnesium, which means you really need to increase some more. Here's some stuff on here.
Stress.
Carbonated beverages.
Oh, yeah.
soft drinks as the phosphates bind to magnesium, preventing absorption. These are all factors I'm listing right here that massively increase magnesium deficiency.
Also, fizzy, but water. The stuff that tastes like Alka-Seltzer.
Oh, like bubbly water, sparkling.
It really messes up the bladder, too. You got to stay away from crap like that. I mean, I know it tastes good. I got it. But no, man, it's not good.
Well, and it's one of those things. If you're getting some, like, you know, basically bubbly spring water on a rare occasion for something, like he said earlier, something, you know, it's not that big of a deal. The problem is majority of these things I'm about to list are not a one-time thing.
It messes up my bladder one glass.
Well, but that may not be to everybody.
A little too personal for you.
Yeah, but I say, you know, but I'm saying there's a lot worse things in life than basically some, you know, sparkling water. But these are the things that a lot of people do on a regular basis. Lack of sleep burns through magnesium. Alcohol massively burns through magnesium. You want to talk about just stripping magnesium out of the body. Drink a good amount of alcohol one night and you'll find out your magnesium levels take 3 to 4 days to get back to baseline after you've consumed alcohol.
Remember, we have a friend.
Yep.
He used to wear that stupid Apple Watch.
Oh, yeah.
Loathe that thing. One night, his heart rate jumps up to 90. Oh, my gosh, it was about 90 seconds. While he's sleeping, right? Didn't even know about it. He comes up next morning. Oh, my gosh, I've got an elevated heart rate. Now, this guy was a boozer. Loved his beer, loved his wine. And he goes to the doctor. The doctor goes, got to put you on beta blockers.
Yeah.
I mean, he had one incident from this stupid Apple Watch. And he went on beta blockers, but he didn't stop drinking. The doctor didn't tell him that. You can't do alcohol with beta blockers. Saw him next time, his lips were blue. And he's shaking like this. Like this. Am I exaggerating?
No.
No, it was that bad. I thought he was going
to
die.
Yeah, you're taking beta blockers, which I don't recommend. You better darn well not drink alcohol on them at all.
I did a bunch of research, sent him all the links. Now, I don't know whatever happened to him as far as if he's still on that junk or not. Ooh. All because of the Apple Watch.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing, man. Everybody's got their watches if they want to use them for work, business.
How many steps they got to get per day.
Things. Okay, whatever. I mean, I got it. Everybody's got their own preference on it. But don't get to a point where you're using your Apple Watch like it's your God telling you what's going on with you. Oof. I'm just going to put that out there. I've known people that have these watches, and literally all day, I'll be around all day. Oh, check this. I'm going to do this. Oh, my heart rate's this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, bro, I've been talking to you for 10 minutes, and you've literally checked your watch 15 times. Something going on? No, I'm monitoring this. I woke up, and my sleep was only at, you know, 72% this morning. You know what I can tell you right now? I had a 2-year-old crawling across me at 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. and probably 6 a.m. this morning. My sleep is not the best it's ever been. There you go. Problem solved. Figured it out. Didn't need a watch to tell me that this morning. And I get it if you have some type of significant health problem that you're trying to monitor. That's different. But a lot of times I've seen people create their own problems by fixating on a minor issue and not getting out of their head. The mind, my friends... The mind is such a powerful tool. Until you understand and can conceptualize what the mind is capable of doing, you've got to understand what you focus and fixate on, you will invariably create. If you start thinking about, oh my gosh, my blood pressure went up 10 points in the middle of the night. Oh my gosh, I'm checking it again now. It's 9 a.m. My blood pressure spiked up again another 8 points right now. And you start sitting there, I promise you, you will invariably watch your blood pressure continue to go up and never come back down because you're now fixated on that concept instead of just allowing your body to reach homeostasis. You're using an electronic device to monitor every single concept of everything you do all day. The second part about it, these Apple Watches, all these things that monitor your biometrics all day, newsflash, you may haven't figured this out yet. They sell every single piece of data they monitor on you to third party. Now all of a sudden you can't figure out why you're getting blood pressure commercials on your social media, why ads are popping up in your email for blood pressure, why you're watching certain shows and suddenly blood pressure pops up on it. No duh, your data got sold from your Apple Watch and has gone out to every single major marketing company and they put you in an AI database and it goes through and they funnel you through. They tell you they do it. Anyways, I digress. Back to this. Elevated insulin levels from ultra-processed foods, heavy sweating, stress, excessive processed salt intake, excessive coffee consumption, parasite infestation, heavy menstruation are all things that massively burn magnesium in the body. So not only taking it for a regular basis needs to be done, but if you are having any of these issues, make sure you're taking even more magnesium on a regular basis to increase your uptake and intake.
And by the way, the kidneys can handle magnesium pretty easy. If you get too much, it goes right through the system. By the way, you were saying something a second ago, and you were right. Here's an article talking about how the human brain can help shape the universe as we know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you think about, you bring about. You don't realize that, but your reticulator activator, the active base of the brain, when you start programming your mind to think certain ways and say certain things and back certain ways, it starts shaping the universe the way you see it. And so if you're negative, you start hanging out with negative people, you get real negative, all of a sudden your life goes to crap. And you go, I don't know what happened in my life. Well, I tell what happened to your five. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
Top five people you associate with.
Yeah, that determines who you are and what you become. And people don't realize how unbelievably important it is to hang out with the right quality people and not hang out with a bunch of lowlife. You think, well, you're calling somebody a lowlife? If somebody's doing drugs every day and they're doing crack and they're doing alcohol and they're robbing, cheating, and stealing, and they're killing people and shooting people and going to bars and strip clubs, they're pretty much a lowlife.
Probably best just to not hang out with them.
Yeah, you say, well, you can't be judging them. No, I ain't judging nobody. I didn't say
everybody's got to deal with their own salvation. Do you want to associate with that behavior? If every time you go out with somebody, and I've noticed from my younger years, every time you go out with somebody and you go to the bar with them, every time they drink, they invariably want to get in a fist fight with somebody. Well, after like the third time you're at the bar and everybody gets in a giant fight because your friends can't handle their alcohol, A, do you want to be around alcohol? And B, do you want to associate with that friend? Been there, done that, learned that. You're around people that are constantly involved in nefarious behavior, things get stolen. You do business with people that are constantly cheating and stealing, suddenly certain things get stolen. You go, well, I didn't think that was going to happen to me. Well, what did you think it was going to happen to? You associate with those people, it's going to affect you. And even if it's not affecting you directly, you're going to be guilty by association. Your reputation will start preceding you.
Remember when Jim Rohn used to say, saying that liars shouldn't lie is out of conversation.
Right.
The reason liars lie is because they're liars.
It's like saying that snake shouldn't bite me, but he's a water moccasin.
He's a snake.
He's a snake.
Well, no, until a person decides they're going to change, it doesn't make any difference what's going to happen to him. You know, I had a friend of mine, and he's a pastor, and I called him up, and I had another friend of mine was having these issues, and I said, can you pray for him to be delivered from this? He goes, no, I won't. I said, why? He goes, because he doesn't want to be delivered.
It's true.
Until you get convicted by the Holy Spirit. We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah.
What happens, either you get convicted and you dig in, and you get mad about what your behavioral patterns are, or you repent and stop doing it. It's about that simple, really, honest. You know, Sean told me that. Pastor Sean, man, brilliant man. One of the smartest guys ever. Memorizes his sermons every Sunday. Amazing how he does that.
This is a topic that I'm going to cover. I covered it on Hagman last night. You guys are going to find this very, very intriguing. Two NIH researchers, we went in detail on this last night, are charged with conspiring to smuggle biological materials, including monkeypox virus from the U.S. from Africa. They got busted at border customs with dozens of vials of chickenpox, monkeypox, and other viruses that essentially have been allegedly weaponized. These researchers worked at a biosafety level 4 laboratory in Montana for NIH. Guys, these were active researchers. They essentially been charged now with trying to transport biologicals and a whole host of other charges here. Vincent Muster, Dutch citizen and chief of virus ecology section of NIH, and Claude Kiyimi, PhD, also charged conspiracy to smuggle in the United States and making false statements to federal agents. Both men worked at a biosafety level 4 lab, the highest level of containment used for research involving dangerous pathogens. Customs Border Protection.
This is a big deal, by the way.
This is a huge deal. And nobody, there isn't a single mainstream outlet's covering this. This is NIH, guys. The same NIH that told you that that thing that happened in 2020 was from Wuhan.
You gotta do this.
Yeah. From Wuhan, from a wet market because somebody ate a bat. The NIH that found out, we all found out later on, they completely lied and fabricated the entire story and everything was made up and this thing was built in a bioweapon lab. Mm-hmm. These guys essentially got questioned about a large black suitcase by Customs and Border Protection. Prosecutors alleged the men told officers that essentially they had nothing at all in it. Basically, they forced them to open it up. And it had diagnostic testing equipment. Investigators determined that 113 vials stored in styrofoam coolers. Tested the samples, found monkeypox virus in 17 vials, chickenpox virus in 1 vial, and numerous human DNA in other 2 vials. The NIH apparently broke our laws by smuggling viral pathogens on a commercial airplane from an outbreak in the Republic of Congo, U.S. Attorney Jerome said. Now,
this whole thing's starting to reek.
Well,
now.
First off, let me put it this way. These guys are NIH scientists. They're nerds. They didn't just take it upon themselves to get 100 viruses viral.
No, something's wrong here.
And pack them out.
No, read what you said. You said that they did an analysis and found out that it was inside. Somebody analyzed this stuff. You know what that means? Somebody opened a vial.
Yeah.
Okay, now, that right there tells me this is complete. This whole story is going to be something else is going on here.
With, like, CIA involved?
Something, no, because they've got to have. Okay, if we have a breakout of something, oh, we have to have a cover story.
Well, it says investigators found the testing, a portion of the sample.
How'd they test it, Austin?
Well, who tested it?
Who tested it? Okay, I got monkeypox file here. Let's break it open and see what happens. Let me test it. Are you going to a level 4 quarantine facility? They don't say that here. So this whole story, something else is behind this.
Well, they're doing this as a cover story to cover
something,
another story.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they're saying that these guys had this black case on a commercial airline.
No, wait a minute.
Coming back from Congo.
No, it's got hundreds of vials of junk in. Okay.
117.
Okay, so I got a black case, and I'm going through customs with it. What's in the case? Nothing. Show you have the case? No. I tell you, you
need NIH. But they had NIH creds.
Well, then they got to be cracking it open and opening up monkey vials. No, this is a lie. This story is a cover story. There's something else going on here. Remember this. Paul Craig Roberts wrote this. There was no lab leak. COVID was a spread intentionally on multiple continents. The COVID-19 pandemic is over. The headlines have shifted to relentless cycle of bloody invasions and political scandals. It is tempting to file the years of lockdowns, vaccine tyranny, and assaults on freedom into a folder of unfortunate history and never open it again. Most have, but the victims and a few researchers continue to ask questions as the man answers. How many victims were there? 20 million excess deaths? We don't know. That's what they're saying. First, we are fed a narrative about the novel coronavirus having a natural origin. We're feeding a narrative, Austin, about people bringing this in on an airplane.
Here's part two on this. Let me just look at this.
Nah, something's wrong here with this story.
They allege that Munster adamantly denied carrying any biological samples with him and told investigators that he had necessary documentation on his laptop. They said by the FBI affidavit, authorities said Munster never produced documentation he claimed to have. He's never had it.
I don't believe this story. This story is a cover story.
Well, no. So you got NIH transferring biologicals, including monkeypox, in a commercial flight to Congo.
No, and they get stopped at border.
This is what me and Doug talked about last night.
No, I ain't right.
What the heck else is going on with this?
No.
These guys, first off, why is he saying he's got adamant documentation, but somebody doesn't have it?
First of all, these organizations have their own, private jets.
Correct.
Now listen to me.
NIH has their own jets.
They have their own jets, okay? You're not going to go on a commercial flight unless you want to get caught with
117 vials of biologicals.
No, this is a setup. We're being set up for something here. This whole story is bogus.
Or something happened and it got flushed. That's why they're basically trying to disclose it now and do a spin twist on it.
No, something else is going on.
Yeah. But no, I said the same thing to Douglas. I said, why were they on a commercial flight with bios?
No, man.
There's no way NIH is going to do that.
No.
But then it's funny. NIH has refused to address any of it now. They said essentially at this time they will not release any information on it.
Well,
NIH is not commenting on the charges.
Well, you know why they're not making any comments on the charges? Because they don't know what the heck's going on either. They don't know how to respond to this.
Honestly, this sounds a lot to me like the agency was involved with it.
Yes.
It sounds like spooks got
nobody,
involved.
Nobody takes bioweapons and puts them on a commercial flight in a giant black container.
It takes them through customs.
And they're all refrigerated in styrofoam. No, man. Something's wrong here. This story sucks.
Well, you remember when in that movie American Made, with Barry Seal, he's transferring all those drugs and weapons, and that agency guy meets with CIA, and he goes, and Barry goes, I don't have the cash for this stuff. And he goes, the agency guy goes, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. Just go down there. You'll figure it out. It's almost like these guys were set up in a position like, hey, you know what? You're cleared. You're cleared to take this box.
If these guys even are who they say they are, Austin.
Or if they even knew what was in the box. They kept saying they didn't know what was in there, that there was no biologicals. They had documentation for everything. And then suddenly they don't have anything.
And somebody cracks open the vial.
Yeah,
for a bio level 4 quarantine facility? No, man. Okay, first of all, I remember when I was in college, right? And I was in organic chemistry. And there were certain chemical compounds that you couldn't release into the room or you'd die, like chlorine gas. And you had to do everything under a vacuum hood. They taught us that immediately. That's why this thing reeks. And so when you were working on experiments that had to have a vacuum to pull the air up and out and exhausting it and threading through filtration systems, you did that. Nobody opens up a level 4 quarantine facility that says monkeypox on it. It says, hi, hey, let me smell this. What is this thing? What is this for? You know,
taste it. See what it tastes like.
That's that same stupid story they used on aspartame. They said they were working on these chemicals, and the guy licks his finger, right? And he has to taste something sweet. And he goes back and finds out he had connected phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and methanol together in a compound. No, that's not at all what happened. It was developed that way. Oh, I licked my fingers. They were sweet. Nobody licks their fingers in a chemistry laboratory. You're an idiot if you do that.
That's how you die.
So this whole thing, so whether this guy's real here, or if this picture's real, nobody knows.
Or if this is complete and total fabricated story from the agency to basically have a cover story for something they're about to release.
In case something releases. That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. So that's why I wanted to cover this. The whole point of this entire story, what I wanted to get at is there's a lot of people that are unbelievably nefarious. As I was just talking about, there's certain people around there that are horrific. There's a lot of people in our U.S. government that are completely and totally infiltrated, and they want to do some really bad things.
I want to look up this Hendrick.
He's a writer.
No, I want to see who he is.
Karowski?
Yeah, whatever. Let's see here. Let's see if he has a little hat.
Anyway, so while he's looking that up, this is why I tell you guys, if you keep your body strong, your mind strong, you continue to see things a lot of times before they happen. The biggest thing about being observant and situationally aware is knowing, okay, there's certain places and there's certain people to do really bad things. Be aware of them before they happen. Whether or not this story is complete fodder, whether or not this story is accurate, whether or not this story is a cover for something else, I don't know. So when I went to Doug's story last night.
This guy's an award-winning journalist and a fiction writer.
Oh, interesting.
He's a doctor of social work.
Well, when I pulled up these agents, these guys are registered NIA researchers when I pulled them up.
I'm more concerned about this guy here.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are legit from what my research I did yesterday as far as from NIH. The problem with this is this entire story sounds like it's a cover story for something else on here. But anyways, that's why I wanted to cover it on here and get this out. You make your own decision on it. This is why I try to bring you guys news stories and tell you guys make your own decision and do it as well as possible. Another story I covered last night, I want to cover again. Synthetic milk. Children must not be experimental subjects. A new study in Scientific Reports serves as a serious warning to regulators, parents, and public health officials about the new synthetic milk that has been coming to market now. It's a completely synthesized milk. They're just saying it's as good as cow's milk and human milk, and it's not. It has a whole host of problems that they refuse to address. On top of that, and I covered this story last year, a synthetic milk goes right along the lines as the synthetic meat manufacturers that Bill Gates invested in and Israel's invested in, one of the largest synthetic meat factories in North Carolina. Just thought you guys would like to know that. And the issue is this, the synthetic milk product analyzed in the study contains 236 different fungal proteins and 93 unidentified fungal metabolites. Researchers have found that this is a striking largely amount of fungal proteins rather than a singular milk protein. Consumers are led to believe that they're purchasing. The assumption that synthetic biology-derived milk is interchangeable natural dairy or human milk contains a targeted protein, ignoring the profound complexity of real food. This came to market last year, and what they're doing now is they're giving these things like the manufactured synthetic food and this synthetic milk, this GRAS, G-R-A-S, generally recognized as safe stamp on it, and they're letting it roll out. Because it's a food supplement, it's not a drug, it's not going through any significant testing. The company that manufactured this stuff, and now it may have changed since then, when I covered the story last year, the company that manufactured this refused to fully disclose the proprietary formula in making it. They didn't want somebody to copy it. Well, what do you mean? You're making synthetic milk in a lab to be given to infants, and you're telling me we don't have a right to know what the proprietary ingredient list form is on it? What the heck is that supposed to mean? The same way the synthetic meat labs are coming out and saying, well, this is what we're using to make it, but we can't disclose everything that's in it because we don't want somebody to, you know, copy our idea. Newsflash, nobody wants synthetic meat or synthetic milk. There is no consumer demand for it. There's nobody saying, I would love to eat me some tumor fake meat.
Primarily comes out of Israel.
major company investment firms all involved in it are out of Israel. I have to look that up, and you can verify that.
This Henrik Carlson, this guy, the writer, he's legit. He works for The Defender, and he's written a bunch of different things on what's coming out of Africa. I think what he's saying here is that we got to take a look at what's going on here and ask ourselves some questions, like why in the world were these guys doing this, and why were they
caught? Commercial flight?
First of all, you don't do that.
No, that's the first thing I told Douglas. I said, why are these guys on a commercial flight from the Congo?
They were supposed to get caught.
Right. Or somebody told them, like in the agency, oh, you guys are fine. You have full clearance. Walk it through. Nobody's going to stop you. Mm-hmm. And they walked right into it. Or somebody wasn't supposed to stop them, and they did. Mm-hmm. This box was never supposed to get open. Nobody was supposed to test it. And it was supposed to get back over there real subtly. Because remember, here's the thing. Think about this for a second. If they run it on NIH or agency jets, right? That means it's going to be pretty much on the books that they're involved with doing this. They run through commercial flight with standard check-in luggage, and they tell them nobody's going to stop you on it. It goes under the radar. It's not on the manifest with any agency planes or NIH planes.
Well, first of all, let's run that back a notch. The CIA, the United States government's bringing these giant transport planes with bodies out of Vietnam. They're sacrosanct. Nobody touches them. They've got 50 kilos of heroin each casket.
Under the bottom section of the false floor.
Okay, so they can't touch them. They can't inspect them.
Yeah.
So they can bring in their own planes and not even disclose it on a manifest.
That's true.
Okay.
So why would they put it on a commercial?
Because they want to get caught. They have to have a cover story. We had bats in Wuhan.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Somebody ate a bat.
Yeah, I don't think I'd get hungry enough to eat a bat.
It'd be pretty hard. If you see bats, when you see bats, dead bats out in the woods of Singapore, they're just a nasty animal.
Didn't Ozzy Osbourne bite the head? Rich, did Ozzy Osbourne really bite the head off a bat? It was an accident. He bit the head off a bat.
Someone gave him a real one?
So they were throwing rubber bats on stage. He grabbed the real one.
Well, Ozzy Osbourne also wasn't known for being incredibly sober all the time either. Let's put it that way.
You're talking about somebody cooking their brain on drugs.
Yeah, he's pretty wild. Anyways, I digress. But no, I thought the same thing. This whole story was very strange. Why in the world is NIH running bioviruses, monkeypox viruses?
They're doing something. Well, remember I told you guys this years ago, and I still stand by this, and we've already seen it work itself out. They're not going to nuke us, Austin.
No. Infrastructure.
They're not going to destroy their own infrastructure. The fallen angels did not destroy their own pyramids. God did. He flushed them.
That's true.
He pulled the continents apart. He flooded the entire planet to destroy their infrastructure. They haven't spent trillions of dollars putting up 5G, 6G systems all over the world, building these data centers now for trillions of dollars to allow them to control every
thought all the time.
Nobody's getting nuked here.
From an electronic standpoint, if you understand how EMPs work, there's no way you can harden an AI data center. No way. Too much power going in, too much infrastructure. There's no way you can fully harden a center that big, that large.
No, you can't.
To make sure there's no way an EMP can.
Nobody's getting nuked. So when you watch these websites, we're going to have an asteroid. No. We're going to be nuked. No. We're going to have a tidal wave. No. It's all fear porn.
God could get pretty irritated and drop an asteroid in everybody's head. I mean, he might do that.
He might
sick everybody. Gosh, you guys are pissing me off. Reset again. Reset button. We're starting over again. Okay, third time's a charm. See if you guys can figure it out this time.
But he did push the reset button. He sent us Jesus.
I know. I'm being sarcastic.
Well, I have to fix that. Okay. By the way, gold is now overtaking U.S. bonds as the world's favorite investment. You know, told you I was right. I told you to buy gold at $800 an ounce. A lot of you did. I got one guy in Auburndale. He bought about $2 million worth of gold at $800 an ounce. He called me up the other day. He goes, man, I want to thank you. And I said, for what? He goes, man, you have made me rich.
6X on that one.
Yeah. And he says, I cannot believe what just happened. I put a bunch of my retirement accounts. I can't believe what happened. And I'm like, well, you know, I told you the fiat currency always goes down to zero.
Well, and that's why they had, you know, it's funny because I talked to somebody about this in the silver industry as far as with electronics the other day when I was, I had a buddy who was coming down, scuba diving, great guy, works for a huge electrical company. And he goes, isn't it ironic, Austin, silver and gold, because these were big in metals too, because silver and gold were running to high heavens. The AI data centers are using up silver like there's no end of it. The market was going bonkers. And suddenly, we had to attack Iran. And all the money from the gold and silver profits all shifted into oil from basically because of what Trump was doing. He goes, isn't it funny it happened at the exact same time? He goes, they had to control the silver and gold run because everybody realized that there's not enough to cover all the contracts.
It's real money. Here's this silver's last bailout. The silver market has long operated under a structure that allowed paper promises to substitute for physical delivery.
Yep.
For decades, Western Futures Exchange maintained a system in which the vast majority of contracts settled in cash and not physical metal, limiting the need for actual metal to exchange hands. That framework helped provide liquidity and flexibility, but it also created a mechanism through which supply pressures could be deterred rather than resolved. By the way, I'll tell you who's doing this.
Yeah.
Little hat. The question is now is whether that mechanism is approaching its limits. A useful starting point is a September 2020 settlement involving J.P. Morgan, who agreed to pay $920 million to resolve allegations related to precious metals market spoofing. More recently, the bank closed out a reported 3.17 million ounce silver short position, short before silver prices accelerated from 73 to more than 120 an ounce. This part was simultaneous with the removal of all from registered silver earmarked for delivery into China. While the timing has attracted attention, the broader issue extends beyond any single institution. The focus today is increasing on the exchanging relationship between the paper silver markets and the physical demand itself. Delivery reshapes and determines demands the shape of the market. I'm going to let you guys read this. I'm going to post it for you. But guys, listen to me. You can't go wrong with gold and silver. Now it's going to go up and down. And should you put all your assets in? It's absolutely not. You got to stay have some liquidity. But what you can do is look at it for the long haul. Long haul. I had a friend of mine, his name was Jim Burke. He's in heaven now. I hope he made heaven. I hope he did. I'm not sure. But he told me 40 years ago, we went to the pawn shop over in Winter Haven. He's buying silver. I was, what are you doing, dude? He goes, I'm buying silver. I said, what for? He goes, it's real money. Man, Jim was right, wasn't he, Austin?
Now, here's the part. This is what I want to cover real quick. January and February, the COMEX blatantly said they couldn't cover the silver contracts. They didn't have it. There was 429 million ounces in open contracts with registered physical inventory in the COMEX. They stated they had 98 million ounces. They had a quarter of what they had. They had a quarter of what they had to basically deliver. Couldn't be done. It was impossible. This says silver merchant, you can't deliver. They can't deliver the amount of silver that's on the inventory crisis. They said that 98% of the open contracts had now demanded actual physical metal in February rather than rolling over to other derivatives. What happened in the February, beginning of March? Oh, that's right. The little hat people demanded that we invade Iran. And all the money that was pushing in silver and gold suddenly had the cash cow of the month going into oil. That's why oil went from $55 an ounce to $110 an ounce in one section.
$55 a barrel,
excuse me. Silver and gold. This is what I tried to tell everybody this. When silver hit $129 an ounce, I said, they're going to have to figure out how to short it. They've got to change the narrative because it was going, basically it was running up. I mean, year and a half ago, silver's floating around $35 an ounce, $40 an ounce. Straight 3-4 X's in a couple months. And everybody goes, okay, I'm taking physical now. The comics goes, we got 98 million ounces. You guys want 429 million ounces. We physically can't deliver the silver. There was no cap at 121. That was not the ceiling.
It was going up.
The only thing is J.P. Morgan came in and put massive shorts in right when we attacked Iran. And suddenly everybody went, oh, my gosh, oil's the next run, and took all their profits out of the metals and sunk them in there. And that dropped silver down to the 70 range, which is like 75, 78 right now.
What the Rothschild boys discovered back in the 1600s, 1700s, and they call it Babylonian money magic because they've known about it for thousands of years, why they've been run out of so many countries, so many, for millennial. They basically found out that if a person was walking around with a bag of gold, okay, they're going to get robbed. So they would put it on deposit at one of their banks, and they'd draw the check off of it. Okay? And then they would take the check, and if the check got lost, they could replace it. And what happened is they found out that very few people ever got the gold. They just left it in there because it was safekeeping. They kept it in their vault. And so what ended up happening is the Rothschilds realized they could start loaning out more and more and more money on the gold because they don't come and take the gold. And so they decided it was 10 to 1. So if they had $1 million of gold, they could loan out $10 million. Well, when 2008 happened, what they realized then, they were at 40 to 1. So if they had $1 million in gold in the vault, they would loan out $40 million on it. They would just make money out of thin air, out of nothing. And so that's what this is doing here. They did the same thing in the markets. They said, we have $400 million owed, but we only have $90 million available. So what are we going to do? We've got to find a way to manipulate the market again, get everybody out of this, and do a big short on silver to force the price back down to get people not to want to take physical delivery. Now they're going to be investing money in oil.
That's exactly right.
That's what they did.
Because everybody saw the market dip, and they said, I'm taking my profits, and I'm moving the oil on here. And that's why the market just stopped with silver and gold. You know, it hasn't really moved at all. It's sitting right in its floor, right where they want it. It's because they can't allow it to go up right now because they had to be able to get the contracts under control that wanted physical. So I thought I would cover that real quick because a lot of people ask me about that because silver, I mean, when you start hearing every major media outlet start talking about silver's running to a level we've never seen, this unprecedented gold. I mean, remember those like mainstream media outlets were starting to cover it because everybody had to talk about it because it was a news story that was just huge. Suddenly it's like, we need a distraction. We got to stop talking about basically the little hat people and everybody involved with Epstein eating children. We got to get that off the board. We got to get this silver contract under control because we don't have but a quarter of the silver to give delivery. We got to get that under control. Let's make another, you know, couple hundred billion on a market swing
trillion.
With oil. Trillion, yeah. Oh, and let's also, too, get the entire thing under control where now we keep everybody distracted for the next 2 months. And, by the way, we spent another $100 billion in the industrial military complex over the last 2 months. And now we have a $1.15 trillion National Defense Authorization Act that now Netanyahu is bragging about being his idea. You seen this?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Scott Pelley, making $7 million a year, got fired from 60 Minutes because he got to run his mouth about his boss. Never cared for Scott Pelley. To me, he always acts like a hardcore commie. Thought I'd mention that, so I'm glad to see him go. But I don't watch 60 Minutes. Haven't watched it in 20 years, so I don't really care about that show either. I don't like having the news propaganda shows out there telling you things that basically they twist and distort with all the facts they put out. So Netanyahu is saying is he gave this his response.
Oh, no,
at one
point. This has been released now. It's basically on X. For the United States House of Representatives, Netanyahu wrote a letter. This is from June 1st. This is right after the basically NDAA was introduced, says Congressional Strutzman, I'm glad to receive your proposal, congressional resolution endorsing my plan to shift the framework for U.S.-Israel defense cooperation from aid to partnership. As I said on our meeting in Jerusalem on May 27th, Israel deeply appreciates the financial component of the military aid as generously provided, but the time has now arrived for us to move from aid recipient to partner. Partner?
This is a sovereign country.
There is no partner.
Yeah, this is turning into the United States of Israel.
There's no partner in a constitutional republic. There's no partner. It's us. It's the United States of America. Period. There's no plus, plus, plus. This isn't the LBGT community. You don't just get to add ladders and numbers and all types of dots and dashes at the end because we're all partners now. It's the United States of America. That's it. And so it's interesting about this now. I talked over the weekend to one of my defense contractor buddies, and he wants nothing to do with this anymore. He's like, this whole turn things to a fodder show. I've made my money. I want to go buy 4,000 acres and go hella hogging. That's what he told me.
I want to go hella hogging.
Yeah, we'll probably go this summer.
Oh, good.
He bought a helicopter.
Are we going to do the M60?
I don't know what he's got in inventory.
Well, the 50's kind of an overkill for hella hogging.
He's got a 249. He's SOT-2s. He's a defense contractor. He manufactures all kinds of stuff.
Make sure you get strapped in.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody says to me the other day,
he's like, I bought a helicopter. I said, I'm glad you bought a helicopter, brother. Business is good.
Are we done? What's that noise? Van. Hey, Van. Van's here in the house.
But no. So interestingly enough, that's the time frame they're working on. But a lot of the military that's retired and stuff, they've just shook their heads in this and they go.
The lady who told me a couple of weeks ago she's going to have her breast removed because she might get cancer someday, who's 68 years old, whatever. I told her I could always fall out of an airplane, you know, someday too, maybe. So maybe hella hogging may not be such a good idea. So I spoke those words.
Ah, you know what?
Double strap yourself in.
Hey, by the way, I'm not advocating going out and just needlessly, frivolously, inhumanely hunting certain animals.
Hogs.
The state of Florida has deemed and requested that individuals wipe them out of properties. They are deemed a nuisance by Florida wildlife.
Dangerous. Spread disease.
Well, they spread disease and they ruin all aspects of crops. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you get, and they make like 50 piglets in a year. I mean, they just keep having, I mean, nonstop babies and they root up. You ever watch them? They root. And so they dig up everything, and they eat everything, and then they just grow exponentially. And so Florida Wildlife has requested
we get rid of them. Oh, by the way, keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Remember, Jesus is the author is the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, and he died for you on Calvary, resurrected, and now his blood is an eternal sacrifice. Thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your supplements from us. If it wasn't for you guys doing this, and by the way, we had to start all over with YouTube, but we're growing really fast on that thing. If we stay on it, you can forward those shows if you like to your friends. Remember, we pray for you. Thanks for praying for us. And no matter what, if you don't get anything from us, get the toothpaste from somebody that doesn't have fluoride.
No fluoride,
don't
my
use
friends.
Fluoride toothpaste. Love you guys.
Stay strong and healthy. Magnesium Brain Food on sale. Y'all voted. This is the highest 5-star reviewed product we carry. Period. I don't make these numbers up. These are you guys. So thank you for the support. Stay healthy. Stay strong. We'll talk to you on this show tomorrow. As always.
Love you guys.